Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Hope everybody's doing well. How many of you like that cool weather this morning?
Amen.
Amen.
I tell you, we had a long, hot summer. It's nice to feel some fall coming in, isn't it?
Amen.
Just hope and pray that it'll continue to feel nice and cool. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 10.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord for God's word. Amen. We're going to be looking at a story that's familiar to everyone, I believe, in here. But we're going to tie it into how true love was shown through this story right here. We're going to be looking at verses 25 through 37 from Luke chapter 10. If you have your scripture today, I'm going to ask if you will stand to your feet in honor and reverence of reading God's word. We're going to begin with verse 25 in Luke chapter 10. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said unto him, Go and do thou likewise. Father God, just please, Lord, add your blessings to the reading of your word. Lord, prepare our hearts and minds for the word you have today, Father. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. See, Jesus was confronted by an, if you notice in your notes, I put in quotes, expert in the law. This was a lawyer, a scribe who was approaching Jesus, and basically what he was trying to do, as all of the religious leaders of that day tried to do to Jesus, they were trying to catch him so that they could get rid of him. They were trying to catch him in some kind of lie, anything they could do to try to get rid of him. So he asked Jesus, he said, What must I do to inherit eternal life? And of course, Jesus already knew what the intention of his heart was. Jesus basically replied by asking him a question. What is written in the law? You know why Jesus asked him that? He's all about the law. He's a lawyer by trade, a scribe. So he's all interested in the law. So he responds to him by asking him, what does the law say? How do you read it? And then, of course, the lawyer, he reads him the scripture that we just read there, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and mind and soul and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And to that, Jesus said, You have answered correctly. Now, if you do these things, you'll have this eternal life. But then, you see, he wanted to carry it on a step further. Because really and truly, what was the whole purpose of this scribe? He wasn't wanting to find out what the answer to eternal life was. He was just really testing God. And when he asked God then in the next frame, Well, who is my neighbor? He was really wanting to know, well, what's the least amount of stuff I got to do in order to be acceptable here with what I'm doing? Guys, let me tell you something. Our love for others should have the following qualities right here. Let's look at three of these right quick. Number one is this. We should love others unreservedly. We should love others unreservedly. There should not be any reservations for our love for other people. God's not a respecter of persons, is he? We're all equal in God's eyes. So our love should be equal as well.
Amen.
When we reserve our love based on who a person is, where they come from, what race they are, what nationality they are, we're not showing the love of Christ. I don't know what kind of love you think that is, but that is not God-like love. That is not love at all, really, if you're a born-again believer. So you see, God's not a respecter of persons. A person's nationality, ethnicity, educational level, social standing, those don't limit God's love for people. How many of you are glad God loves us despite who we are? Amen.
Amen.
Believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Listen, guys, God loves us no matter who we are, no matter where we've come from. He's going to love us. He's going to love people of African American descent. He loves people of Asian descent. He loves people of the Caucasian race, the Hispanic race. God is love. Amen.
Amen.
God is love. I mean, you cannot separate the two. When you're talking about God, you're talking about love. When you're talking about love, you're talking about God. And that's what this whole sermon is about today. It's about intentional love. Intentionally loving someone, not because of who they are, but because of who you serve. Amen.
Amen.
It's all about loving because we serve a loving God who's commanded us to do the same. You see, we should never withhold love for a person because of external appearance or any other reason for that matter, guys. The second thing is this. We should love others sacrificially. We should love others sacrificially. How many of us make sacrifices every day? Some way or another. We make sacrifices, right? How many of your parents in here? Raise your hand. Well, you've made plenty of sacrifices in your lifetime. Amen. Guys, let me tell you something. Our kids may not appreciate what we're doing for them now, but I know one thing. When they get grown and they come back, I've heard our grown kids tell us this before. Dad, Mom, I understand what you said then. I'm seeing that now. I understand what it was you were trying to teach us. Guys, we don't put any reservations on our love, and we shouldn't. You know, our love for others should be sacrificially. We're sacrificing things for the betterment of other people. As a parent, you have to do that all the time. You know, you're going to make sure your kids are taken care of before you make sure you're taken care of. If it's ever the other way around, you've got it messed up. You should never put the needs of yourself ahead of your kids. And certainly never put the needs of yourself ahead of serving God. Amen. Because we're all called to do that first and foremost. So, guys, what was the cost of God's love for us? Let's look at this sacrificial love here for just a minute. What was God's love for us? It cost him the life of his one and only son. That was the cost of God's love for us. You know, the Bible talks about true love being like laying down your life for a friend and things of that nature. That really is true. How many of us love someone so much we'd be willing to lay our lives down for them? Think about that for a minute. That's asking a lot, isn't it? But it didn't bother God at all because he knew that's what he had to do. He had to send a part of himself in a man named Jesus Christ as a sacrificial lamb. A lamb sent to the slaughter. For who? For us. Do we deserve it? No. Should we be thankful for it? Yes. Amen. How many of you glad God sent his son into this world? Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you right now, if it hadn't been for that, we'd have no hope. There'd be no hope for any of us to make it past this world. I don't know about you, but I sure am glad to know that this isn't as good as it gets right here. Amen.
Amen.
It's going to be better. We're going to see better. We're going to be better. But right now, this is as good as it gets for us, but we don't have to let it define us, is what I'm trying to say. Guys, just because you're in circumstances that are out of your control, like living in this world, being surrounded with people who are not of good character sometimes, guys, we can still show the love of Christ and we can still focus on what our mission is. And that is to intentionally love people with the love of Jesus. That's what we've got to do. That's what we got to do. Guys, this is the highest price that God could have paid for us. He was willing to back up his love with action. Let me ask you something. I'm going to involve our young people here for a minute. Just think about it. How do you know when somebody loves you? Anybody want to give me an answer? What do they do?
When they go out the way to...
Yeah, they show it, right? When someone loves you, they don't simply say those words. They don't simply say, oh, well, I love you. Okay, how do you love them? They go out of their way to show it each and every day. You know what? I know that my parents loved me, not only because they told me they did, but because I saw it in the things they did. I saw it in the way they took care of us. And I've tried to do the same for our kids as well. I'm going to tell you I love you, but I want to show you even more than I tell you sometimes. I want to be sure you know it verbally, and I want to be sure you know it physically as well. Because, guys, you know, there are a lot of kids I come in contact with. They don't feel loved. They don't feel loved. They you know what? We've had some classes in our school. Heather, I'm talking about the Hope classes here. I've sat in on some of those classes, and I've actually heard kids say they never tell their parents they love them, and they never hear their parents tell them that. That just saddened me tremendously when I hear that. And it just, I can't even understand how you can survive in a family without saying those words, without sharing your love for your kids and kids sharing their love for their parents. I just can't understand it. Guys, we got to have that sacrificial love. The third thing is this. We should love others proactively. We should love others proactively. Guys, the love God has for us is not this kind of ivory tower kind of love that's just up there in the clouds somewhere. No, that's not the kind of love it is. He came to this sinful world in the form of a man, Jesus Christ. God didn't wait for us to cry out to Him. He came to us. Amen?
Amen.
I'm so glad He was willing to come down here to us. He didn't wait for us to cry out to Him. He took the initiative to come to us. We must be proactive in our walk. Guys, you got to be proactive in your faith. Don't wait for things to happen before people know who you serve. Let them see who you serve on a daily basis. Let them see who you serve each and every day. They should know who you are. You shouldn't have to wait for a circumstance to happen and then start showing up and trying to offer words of comfort and things like this. Be proactive. You say, well, preacher, I have a limited vocabulary. What does that mean? Well, let me tell you, I did too until I looked it up. Amen. Some of these words I use, I have to look up and be sure about every now and then. Guys, being proactive means doing things before you really need to. Being on the move. Getting things going before somebody has to tell you to and it's too late. So guys, we need to be proactive. The love that God has for us is not this ivory tower kind of love. He didn't wait for us to cry out to Him. He came to us. Now, we should be the first to move also in the lives of other people. Guys, we should be the first to move in the lives of other people. You know, how many times does it take you having to be maybe mentioned to by someone else? Oh, did you hear about so-and-so? Yeah, I did hear about him. That's a terrible thing, isn't it? Well, you think we ought to do something about it? We have to be reminded sometimes, don't we? A proactive-minded believer is going to recognize a need and is going to act on a need before they have to be reminded of a need. Guys, you should never have to be poked and prodded to do the things God's called us to do. But some people have to be. I think I need to keep a hot stick in the building just to give everybody a poke and a prod every now and then, just to wake them up to what's going on around them. Amen. Guys, we should be proactive. It's always bad to be reactive. If you have to react to a situation, then you've missed out on what was going on. Okay? Guys, be proactive in your walk. Now, getting back to our text here today, although Jesus answered this man's question, he wasn't satisfied. This man was not satisfied with the answer Jesus gave him. Because you see, the scribes, the Pharisees, all these legalistic people of that day, they didn't want to be shown up. They wanted to have the last word. So this guy goes on to say, you know, who is my neighbor? He wanted to know who his neighbor was. He wasn't going to leave it at the fact that God asked him a question and he answered it correctly. No, he wanted to know who his neighbor was. So then, really what he was trying to accomplish there is he wanted to do as little as he had to do to really be a neighbor to somebody. Because you see, the religious leaders, the scribes, the lawyers and people of that day, they didn't want to have anything to do with anyone that was of a lower status than they were. They didn't want to communicate with people who were lower in status than they were. So you see, basically what this man was trying to do is here, he's asking Jesus, hey, well, you know, in more words or less, tell me the minimum thing I need to know here. What is the minimum thing I need to know here? Jesus doesn't want us, guys, to ask what is the least we can do. He wants us to ask, what else can I do? He doesn't want us to ask, well, what's the very minimum I need to do, Lord? You know what? I believe that's what some believers feel in their heart. I want to do just enough to get by. Oh, yeah, I want to get to heaven now, but I don't want to get there if I got to do too much, you know. I really wonder if some people have that train of thought. They come into this world, they accept Jesus as their Savior, but they don't want to keep asking the words, what else can I do? They just want to be, you know, left alone. Don't put me on that call list. Don't put me on that group. I don't have time for that. Guys, you'll have time for heaven, won't you? Amen. And guess what? If you want all that you can get in heaven, you need to do all that you can here. Amen. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Guys, your rewards in heaven are going to correspond to your works here on this earth. Okay, that's what the judgment seat of Christ is about. It is to judge believers and give them their heavenly reward based on what they did here on this earth. Some of us are going to have great reward. Some of us are going to have many jewels that we have accumulated in our crowns that one day we'll be able to cast at the feet of Jesus. But guess what? Some of us won't have many, if any, jewels in our crown. Why? Because we did not want to be proactive. We wanted to be pushed and poked around and finally maybe do one or two things, guys. You should be asking God every day, Lord, what else can I do for you? What can I do for you? In the case of the priest and the Levite in our story about the Good Samaritan, guys, they found excuses not to help, and it most likely didn't take them long to find those excuses, does it? It doesn't take us long to find an excuse as to why we won't do something, does it? Boy, we got a whole list of them in our back pocket. We don't even have to pull it out. We've memorized that list so well that we don't even have to think about it before we can come up with an excuse why we can't do something, do we? We don't have to think about it. It's second nature to us to just immediately come out and say, oh, I wish I could do that. No, you don't. You don't wish you could do that, because if you did, you'd be doing it, amen?
Yeah.
You don't wish you could do that, so don't use that lame excuse anymore. Listen to me. People, it's time to rise up and serve our Savior right now today. Our world is falling apart, and guess what? A reason that's happening is because born-again believers are not wanting to step to the forefront in the political arenas, at the local level, wherever, in the church house. Guys, we got to quit making excuses. We got to quit saying, I can't do this, and say, Lord, I can do this. We got to quit saying, Lord, I just don't have time for this. Yeah, you do. You got time for everything else you want to do. Make time for Jesus. Amen.
Yeah.
I'm getting passionate about this today, because I'm telling you what, we prioritize our list of things wrong most of the time. We don't put Jesus in the center of it. We put him way down at the bottom of it and say we don't have time for Jesus. Well, guys, you're going to wish one day you made some time for him. I can tell you this, because, you know, the reality of this is some people are walking around living a lie right now. They think they're born again believers, but their fruit doesn't show it. There's no evidence of it. Are you really born again? You know how you'll know it? Because you want to serve. You want to do. You want to be all you can be for Jesus. That's how you know. That's how you know, guys. You know what? Being indifferent was the easy way. And guess what? It still is. It's still the easy way out. What does it mean to be indifferent? Well, you just don't care one way or another. I can live with it. I can live without it. Just don't come bothering me about it all the time. Guys, this indifference is what is ruining us today in this world. This indifferent attitude. Being indifferent was the easy way. Most every day we can find people who are spiritually injured and bleeding on the proverbial roadside, yet we find a plethora of excuses as to why we can't stop and help them. Guys, you pass people every day in your walk, whether it be at your job, whether it be at school, whether it be out and about in society as you're moving about. There are people who are spiritually bleeding and injured that you come in contact with every day. Do you take the time, as this Good Samaritan did, and help them with those wounds? Or do you simply do like the priest and the Levite did and cross over to the other side of the road just so you can pretend you didn't see what was going on over there? Guys, there comes a point in time where we got to stand up. If you're a born-again believer, start acting like it. Take care of people. Love people like Jesus did. Do good to those who mistreat you. That's a hard thing for us to do, isn't it? But guys, we got to quit being indifferent. Here's some of the more common excuses we use. I'm down at the bottom of the first page of your notes here if you want to follow along with these. Look, see if some of these excuses don't ring a bell to you right here. How about these? Oh, that's not any of my business. I've heard people say that plenty of times. That's not my business. I'm not getting in that. That's not my business. Oh, I'm not sure what to say. Well, you can sure say a lot to your neighbor sometimes, because I've heard some of you, amen. You don't have a problem saying things to certain people, but when it's the right situation you need to say something to, sometimes you don't want to say anything. How about this one? Oh, I got enough problems and issues of my own to tend to. I don't have time to worry about theirs. I got too much stuff to worry about myself. How about this? Guys, I'm not sure what to say. I don't know what to say. I'm not equipped to handle the situation as somebody else would be. I'm not equipped to handle. Guys, let me tell you something. If you're a born-again believer, you're equipped to handle the situation. Amen. You have the Holy Spirit of God living in your heart. You may not know all the Bible verses in the world to witness to somebody, but you sure as heck could be able to witness to somebody about what God's done in your life. You can tell them about what the Lord has done for you. You may not be skilled in Scripture and everything, but guys, we got to quit making these excuses as to why we don't want to love people, why we don't want to care for them and take care of them. The truth of the matter is this, brothers and sisters, at the bottom of any excuse is the simple failure to show love. Think about that for a minute. At the bottom of any excuse is the simple failure to show love. Guys, this is a terrible truth about being indifferent. It's not an attitude of being neutral as we would have ourselves believe. It's a point blank denial of the call for us to love others as Jesus loves them. It's just denying that. It's not that we're trying to be neutral. We're just denying it. We don't want to be a part of it. We don't want to be a part of it. We should recognize our tendency to find excuses, guys. To fight this indifference we feel at times, we got to be able to recognize it. We got to be able to fight through it. How do we fight through these indifferences? Well, we fight it through intentional and uncomfortable acts of love. We intentionally set out to love someone, and it may make us uncomfortable when we have to love them, but we do it anyway. Guys, there's some people that you know and I know that will probably make you feel very uncomfortable at the thought of loving them, doesn't it? Everybody has people like that in their lives. But guess what? Jesus is love. Jesus has told us that the greatest of the things that remain in this world, faith, hope, and love, is love. We've got to do it. We've got to love the unlovable. We've got to reach the unreachable. Why? Because that's what Jesus' mission was, and that's what he's imparted on us to do. You see, in this story, the expert wanted to do as little as possible for his neighbors, but Jesus gave the Jews, I love this, Jesus gave the Jews a hero they despised because of his race. And yet this Samaritan went above and beyond the call of duty to help this man in need. What did Jesus do? He didn't end this story by saying, oh, this well-known Jew finally came along and took care of this other Jew over here. No, a Samaritan came and took care of him. Now, that was about as low of an ending of a story as you could have for a Jew back in that day, wasn't it? Oh, no, don't tell us about a Samaritan helping a Jewish man. We don't want to hear about that. But guess what? It happens every day, folks. We see people of different color reaching out in different races, reaching out to help people in need. Why can't we do the same? Why do we have these ingrained prejudices within our mind? Guys, we're called to serve all. Jesus served all. There is no difference in his eyes. By examining the intentional acts of love of that Samaritan man, guys, we should exhibit the following principles. I believe if you look at what that Samaritan did in this story that Jesus told here, we're going to see these principles come to life. Number one, we should be people of awareness. We should be people of awareness. Be aware of what's going on around you at any given time. God puts people and situations in your path on a daily basis. Are you aware of it? Do you take the time to look and see it? Look for them. Recognize them. Guys, we've got to educate ourselves on the lives and issues facing the individuals that we encounter every day. We can't be so concerned about our schedule and our life that we lose focus on what everybody else is having going on with them around us each and every day. We got to pay attention. We got to be a people who are aware of what's going on. If we don't, guys, we're simply going to continue to pass them by each and every day. We may even glance at them as we walk right by them, knowing they need something that we could help provide them each and every day. I want to encourage you. Don't be like that priest and that Levite. You know what? Let your schedule be thrown off a little bit. If you got an opportunity to help somebody that's really down and out, sit down with them for a few minutes. Counsel with them for a few minutes. Pray with them for a few minutes. Witness to them. Because guys, God gives you opportunities every day to do that. He gives you opportunities every week to do that. Every month, every year. How many of us are taking advantage of it? Or do we simply not have time? Do we simply not have the words? Do we simply feel uncomfortable? Do we simply think, oh, it's not my business? Because those are the excuses we're using, guys. But let me tell you something. Make no mistake. When you're seated in front of Jesus, you will not be able to give him any excuses. You realize that, right? There'll be no more excuses accepted. You will be judged and rewarded as a believer based on what you've done here on this earth. And don't think Jesus isn't going to talk about certain situations you were in that you blew it. You just totally ignored what it was he was trying to communicate to you. We need to learn to be aware of what's going on around us, guys. The second thing is this. We got to be people of compassion. We need to be people of compassion. There is not enough compassion in this world. Compassion means caring for someone, whether you like them or not. Guys, I'm going to tell you something. Even the people I don't particularly like to be around, if I saw them hurt, if I know that I could help them some way, I'm still going to reach out and try to help them. You know why? Because that is showing the love of Jesus. And as a born-again believer, we ought to be more Christ-like in our daily walk. You see, it wasn't because the crowd was watching this Good Samaritan, but rather because he felt compassion for this man. Oh, he didn't wait. Maybe that's why the priest and the Levite walked by. They wanted a crowd. They wanted their works to be recognized. Maybe that's why they just walked past. No, this guy wasn't looking for a crowd. He was looking to reach out and help another human being in need. He didn't say, that's a Jew. They don't like us. They hate us. I'm going. No, he didn't even think twice. Took him, dressed up his wounds, poured oil on him, sat him on his donkey, rode him to the inn, told the innkeeper, hey, here's some money. If this isn't enough, when I come back through next week, I'll pay you the rest of it. Would we be willing to do that? Think about that, people. Think about what this story is really teaching us here. It's teaching us about intentional love. It's teaching us intentional love. And the third and final thing is this. We should be people of margin. We should be people of margin. We should have a margin built in to our daily lives where we can incorporate things that God brings to us to take care of. We should be that way. But guys, you know, that's the only reason the Samaritan guy was able to do this. Because he had built in some margin in his life. This is an excellent lesson for us because most of us have zero margin in our lives. We don't have any margin to reach out and take care of somebody with. Oh, well, I got to get my hair done next week. I can't do that today. I gotta go to this event at the end of the month. I got to save money for that. I'll give some to the empty stocking fund or whatever later. Guys, let me tell you something. I've preached on this before, but it's not yours to begin with, amen? Think about that. We are stewards. This is not our stuff. We're just here for a brief time to do with what God has given us. What are you doing with it? Are you helping people in need? Guys, we need to be prepared for God to bring certain needs into our pathway each day. And guess what, guys? It's going to cost us. And we need to be prepared to meet those needs on a daily basis. It's not going to be without cost. Oh, it cost the Samaritan to help and do what God wanted him to do that day. It cost him money, it cost him time, and it cost him effort. Those are three things that a lot of times believers will not use in conjunction with each other. Oh, we may give some money to a good cause. Every now and then we may give a little effort here. But how many times do you combine all three of them together and do like this Samaritan did? You see, guys, what it all boils down to is this. Do we really want to love people intentionally? Or do we simply say we love them, but in reality, we don't show it. We don't want to show it. We don't want people to know it. I'm going to tell everybody in here, I love you. I love everybody in this building right now. And it's not just with a godly love. I would do whatever I could to try to help you if you're in need. And I recognize that. And listen, God gives us eyes. God gives us ears. God gives us a brain. You can recognize when someone's hurting. You can recognize when someone's in need. Nobody should have to remind us of those things. The Lord has placed them in front of us. We should just be taking care of them. We shouldn't have to wait for somebody to come and say, look, I think we ought to do this for this and this and this. We ought to know that. Because guess what? If you're praying for God to bring into your path people who need to hear the word of God and people who need a caring touch, He's going to direct you to those people. But see, I don't think a lot of people are praying that in their prayers. You know why? Because we don't have time. We are already stressed to the max. I'm going to tell you, I'm probably one of the busiest people in town, but I make time when God puts something in my pathway. I can promise you that. You know, I may not be the best at doing some of the things that everybody thinks I should be doing, but I'm going to tell you one thing. I do everything that He tells me to do directly. I can promise you that. And I'm going to keep doing that, and I want to encourage you to do that. You know why? Because in the end, when we're seated before Jesus, He's going to want us to tell Him about the intentional love we had for other people while we were here on this earth. Father God, I thank You, Lord, for this day. I thank You for Your word. Lord, I just pray, God, that this message was brought in a way that was pleasing to You. I pray that people's hearts and minds were challenged. Lord, I pray that if we've not been the people that we need to be, Lord, we'll come up here and pray at this altar and just, Lord, that's what's so great about You. You're the God of second chances and third chances. And Lord, if we messed up one day, then God, we ask You for forgiveness. And it's like that day didn't even exist. And Lord, I just pray that You'll help us to be people that will be examples of what intentional love is all about. And Father, I thank You most of all for loving us enough to send a part of Yourself in Jesus to come and die for our sins, Lord. Thank You so much for that, Father. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. What are we singing, Becky?
Hymn 500.
Hymn number 500. Will you stand and sing? And as always, our altar is open. If you need to come and pray, maybe if not for yourself, pray for somebody else. We all need prayer, right?
Amen.
I want to encourage you to stand and sing, please.